path along life's highway. So common and well trod by the shoes of burdened Christians who won't put their trust in God.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret with your host, author, and teacher, Sylvia Pierce. The Liberating Secret is dedicated to revealing the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Let's join Sylvia Pierce for today's lesson.
He died and rose again to set me free.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. So glad to be with you again today. I'm teaching in the book of Colossians, a little letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. And it's a small little letter, only four chapters, but it's jam-packed with truth, just like Paul always wrote. That's one reason I just adore his writings. Love it. Of course, I love the Bible, all the Bible, as you can see. Now, the Bible doesn't save us, but I'm telling you, the words that's laid down in this Bible, when we take it by faith, when we eat this, when we really take it personally by faith, it transforms us. So, and the gospel is meant to transform us. And actually, Paul said last time I read this was a part of the prayer that he prayed in Colossians 1, 9 through 14, if you're just hearing me for the first time. He said that Christ, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Wow, there's no power in the universe that can do that except in the power of the gospel, the truth. The gospel truth of Christ himself has delivered us from one kingdom and taken us out of one kingdom of darkness and right into the kingdom of light, and has illuminated us. And actually, it calls us saints of light, saints in light. And that's what he called us. So that's what he's saying to the Colossians church, because they had veered off into false mysticism and false philosophy, vain legalism, and, you know, a lot of things. Not the whole church, just part of the church. But there was a faithful intercessor. His name was Epaphras, who came to Paul and said, "Please, could you send a letter back so that I can give this letter to this church so they can have it?" So in four little chapters, and of course the chapters weren't there when he wrote the letter. They were put in as this was canonized and put into the Bible to make the King James Bible in the very beginning. They were divided into chapters. It's like a letter. When you write a letter, you don't make chapters. But anyway, we're going now into the second point that Paul brings out, which is Christ is preeminent. Christ is Lord. And Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, man wants to think he's Lord. The devil wants to think he's Lord. You see, spirits, the fallen angels want to think they're Lord. You see, there's only one Lord of the whole universe, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a man. You know, that is just amazing. The man, Christ Jesus, there is a man that is the Lord, a human being, the man, Christ Jesus, who is Lord of all creation, preeminent above all. Wow. That just takes me to another realm. Let me read you in Philippians this, what it says. It says this, "Let this man who was in Christ Jesus be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself nothing, really human flesh, and took upon him the form of a servant. There he was, Lord, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Before God also highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. all rebellious mankind, even in hell, will have to end up bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the one who is the Lord of all the universe. Wow. And He has, that is just amazing to me. Well, that's exactly what Paul is bringing up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Christ Himself, who is the image of the invisible God. You see, God the Father is uncreated. He has no created form except through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is the image of God, the firstborn of every creature. So when we look in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, I've always loved this. It goes along with what He's saying here. He's saying, who? Jesus, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Wow, that's what He's saying over here in Colossians. That's what makes me think it's Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews. If not, one is Paul's, maybe Apollos or somebody, or Barnabas, maybe somebody wrote it. But it's Paul's revelation, that's for sure. Upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged us, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. How could we think that anybody else could be our Savior? How could mankind think that anybody could redeem us except the man, Christ Jesus? You see, He had to become a man. The Bible says, we have fallen short of God's glory. And Christ in you is the only hope of glory. So there is no hope of glory outside of Christ Himself. So man has fallen short of that glory. So the only way that I can be raised to that glory is through His resurrection, through His death, burial, and resurrection, and glorification. And He do that on my behalf, and I take Him as my Lord and Savior. And you see, so just being veered off, like this church was veered off from Him as being the Lord and the preeminent one, lifted high above all principalities and powers. And that's what the next verse says. For by Him are all things created. Everything was created by His word. He is the word. He is the Logos that created all that was to be created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. My goodness. Let's go back to Hebrews again, because Hebrews is saying the same thing. Hebrews is lifting Him up as the mighty, as mighty God. In verse 8 of Hebrews 1, it says, but unto the Son He saith, thy throne, O God. You see, He is God. He is not just a good man. He's not just a high angels like the Colossians were thinking He was. I mean, see, that's false. That's false imagination, that they were dreaming up these speculative things about Him being some kind of high archangel. And it's and Hebrews 1:8 says, but unto the Son God saith, thy throne, O God. If Jesus Christ is not God, then we're still lost in our trespasses and sins, and we're all doomed for hell. If Jesus was not God, because it took a man, a perfect man, the second person of the Trinity, to gain the intercession for us to be lifted up to glory. So there is no other hope of glory except through the man, Christ Jesus. And He was God. So don't say that He was just a good man. There are many people in the churches today that are buying that lie that Jesus was just a good man, along with Buddha, along with Confucius, along with Allah. Oh no, oh no. He was the Son. There is no other Son except the Son of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father calls Him God. And it says this, verse 8, But unto the Son, God says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So that's the king that we serve. That's the preeminent one that created all things by his word. Oh my goodness. John, this is getting me so excited I can hardly stand it. The book of John says that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it said in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. So the Word was Jesus himself. That's why the mighty Jesus Christ himself that has moved inside of us, that lives inside of us, is mightier than any outer word. Now, the outer Bible is a wonderful testimony of this word. But unless we take this inner word, which is Jesus himself, the word, you see, the outer Bible, you can search the scriptures and in them you think you will have eternal life. You will not have eternal life because you've memorized scriptures. You will not have eternal life that you know more scriptures than anybody else. The Bible says that there were people that searched the scriptures, that in them they thought by searching the scriptures that they would have eternal life. You cannot have eternal life by knowing the scriptures or searching the scriptures. Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is the only one that can bring eternal life inside of us, because eternal life is a person. It's the person of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And boy, you're getting me preaching now, because that lie is permeating throughout the church world, that there are many gods and there's many ways to the throne. There is no other way to glory except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that by no other name can you be called a son of God except by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that is fact. Because by him all things are created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means they're held together. Even the molecules of our bodies, the atom is held together. His word and the power of his word, we saw that in the book of Hebrews. In verse 3 of chapter 1 of Hebrews, he upholds all things by his word, by the power of his word. So his word is holding the molecules, the atoms together in the whole universe. Now, can you imagine the blasphemy of man when we act like that we are greater than God, that we think we are God, that we're holding everything together? I mean, I used to think I was holding myself together. I can't hold myself together. It's by the mighty power of Jesus and by his grace that I'm even held together as a person, and that you're held together as a person. I mean, because of sin, actually, sin is treason against God. We all deserve hell. Well, God has given us a way through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his cross, to redeem us to the Father and bring us back and reconcile us back to the Father through his blood. And we are saved only by the blood of Christ and by the body of Christ. And we're going to be going into that in detail in this little book of Colossians, because it's mighty, it's great. It's a great little book, just filled with the mighty, mighty truth of the gospel. So we see here that Jesus, by his word, is holding you together. You think you're going to hold yourself together? You're not. Jesus is holding you together. You think you're going to hold your family together? This is false imagination to make you think that you have the power to even hold your family together, or hold your nation together, or hold yourself together, or hold the world together. It's a lie, because only Jesus and his word holds all things together. By him, all things consist, and by nothing else. Wow. So you better give him the preeminence. Now listen to verse 18. For he is the head of the body. Now we are called the body of Christ. We are not the head. We are the body. The body only spontaneously, and my body spontaneously does what my head dictates. I don't even have to consciously think about doing things unless I lose kind of power. Like if I lose power, if I have problems with my hand because it's gone to sleep, all of a sudden my mind will think about my hand and I'll shake it and the blood will come back into my fingers. But most of the time, I'm not even conscious that what's going on in my hand. I'm not conscious because of it, because it's just spontaneously operating as one. The head and body are spontaneously operating as one. Now that's the truth of a head and a body. Now think of this. Jesus is your head of the body, the church. We're called the church of Jew and Gentiles, called the church. We're one with Jew and Gentiles. So if you're not loving the Jewish people, well, they're part of your body. How you want to cut off your right arm then? How can you do that? You can't. You see, all the Jews and the Gentiles joined together, both in faith in Christ, are called the church. You see, Christ has joined us together. And faith in Him has joined together both Jew and Gentile. And the gospel is given to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, you see. And we're called the body of Christ because of our mutual faith in Christ, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. He was raised from the dead. That is, in all things, that He might have the preeminence. He is Lord. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, you cannot even call Him Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, what does that mean? It means you have to say it by faith. If you don't think, well, I don't feel like He's always Lord in my life because I might be doing things that I don't think He approves us of. You take it by faith He's your Lord. You take it by faith that He is the head of you. You take it by faith that He is the one. He's the boss. You're not the boss. Now, He's the boss of you. You're not the boss of you. You're not the boss of your children. You're not the boss of your family. You're not the boss of your business. You're not the boss of your nation. He is. He is the Lord and the preeminent one. He is the one that is Lord. Then it says this in 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All fullness dwells. Now, why do we want to be out of Him? Why do we want to act like we're out of Him? Why don't we want to know that we're in Him? If we are in Him, we're joined to Him in union, then the fullness, then you're going to be able to experience the fullness. You're going to know your fullness in Christ because He, all the fullness dwells in Him and He is in you. The gospel is this. Look at John chapter 14. I hope you write these down. This is a very important lesson. Listen, this is the gospel. John 14, 20. In that day, it's talking about Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to indwell mankind. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father. This is Jesus talking. I am in the Father, and ye are in me. You are in me, and I am in you. Wow. That's union. That's the two becoming one. And that's the fullness of Christ is dwelling within us, because that's the gospel, that His Spirit would join with my spirit and I would be one. And that is the divine nature joined to me. Now I have to take that by faith and partake of that, because that is the truth. We just read that. It's in 2 Peter, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, that it's through these precious promises that He has promised to give us the Holy Spirit. He has promised to be in us. He has promised that He will be our life. He has promised that He will be the fullness in us. He has promised that He has overcome all sin. He has promised that you are dead to sin because of it. He has promised that you are dead to law, the law, because of it. You are no longer under legalism, because you are no longer able to sin as well. I mean, yes, it's possible to sin, but it's unlikely. When you are walking and partaking of the divine nature, you're partaking of the sinless one that causes you to be sinless. Now, does it mean that you're never able to commit a sin? Well, yes, we can still commit a sin. But the Bible says in 1 John, I write unto you so you sin not. So we're living a life like, oh my gosh, every day I sin. I used to say that all the time. Every day I'm sinning. Every day I'm doing the wrong thing. Well, it's because I was always concentrated on me, and I was not concentrated on the fact that I am a spirit being joined to Christ, and I put my whole dependence on Him walking out in me and walking out godliness in me and overcoming any of these sins that I can't overcome. And we've got to learn that. We've got to learn that our flesh is weak. We've got to learn that I'm not the boss of my flesh. He is. Now, that's another verse that I love, and that's in chapter 17 of John. Listen to this. I love this verse. My goodness. Chapter 17 of John. It says, and this is eternal life, that you might know thee, know the Father, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So you see, it's important to know. Not know about, but know. If you think you know, you're going to be wobbly. But to know means that you're one with it. You've taken it by faith, and the Lord has witnessed to you that you are one with Him. Okay, that is eternal life. And then this is what it says. It says in verse 2, as thou hast given Christ power over all flesh. God the Father has given Christ power over all flesh. If He is in you, then He has the power over any fleshly thing that you feel like you're doing. You know that it's not Christ. You see, He is that power that overcomes it, but you're going to have to partake of it. You're going to have to take it by faith. And I'm telling you, faith is simple. Faith is just seeing what's available to you and knowing that you desire it, because in yourself you're lacking either the understanding or the full knowledge of it, or the full understanding of it, or the spiritual understanding of it, and you're lacking that. And so you just simply take it. I'm going to take it by faith that you're in me, Jesus. I'm going to take it by faith that you're joined to me. I don't feel like it half the time, but these are precious promises. Are we going to call God a liar? Are we going to say He's not able to do it? Are we going to say He's not the power of the universe and the law of the universe that holds even the molecules of your body together? Are we going to say that He did not lie when He said you are dead to sin? Now, where does it say that? It says that in Romans chapter 6. Are we going to call Him a liar when it says that you are dead to the law? That you no longer have to live under the shoulds and oughts of the flesh, trying to perfect itself through legalism, through performance, through trying to be good, through trying with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my being to be good? We don't have to do any, we're dead to that? Because really, the Bible says the body's dead because of sin. So if you're trying to operate from your flesh, you're trying to operate from a dead thing. Okay, but you're not just dead. You've been raised in Christ. You're resurrected. You're joined with His resurrection. You can know the power of His resurrected life in you. You can know victory over these things that beset you. You can have love that you've never experienced before, a love that can love the unlovable, a love that can forgive anybody, a love because it's not your love, it's not your forgiveness, it's not your life. It's the life of Christ within you. Hallelujah. This is the gospel, and it's yours. It's yours. It's given to you. All you that are born again of God's Spirit, all of you that have said yes to Jesus, no matter how long ago it was, and maybe you think, oh gosh, I've fallen so short from it. Maybe you have. You let the past be the past. Today is the day. You start being a partaker of the divine nature. You start saying that, Christ, you are in me. So you live this life. You take care of these sins. You're the power that overcomes. You're the love that when I can't have it. You're the peace when I feel like I have no peace. You're the strength in my bones. You're the fire in my bones. Lord Jesus, you're the Lord of me. You finally know Him as Lord. When you know Him as Lord, then you don't try to be the Lord. You don't try to be your own Holy Spirit. You don't try to be other people's Holy Spirit. You know that He is the Lord. He is the preeminent one. He is the fullness. One more thing before I end. Let me reiterate again what it says in Ephesians. It says the same thing in Ephesians. It says this, and hath put all things under His feet. Okay, Jesus has put all things under His feet. He's put the devil under His feet. He put all principality and power, the fallen angels, they're all under His feet. They don't have to have power over us anymore. They did before we were saved. They don't have to anymore because we're in Him. Why not want to be in Him and want to be seated with Him far above it? And it's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head, who is the head of the body, it says, over all things to the church. He is the head over all things to the church. Other people are not the head over you. Even other shepherds are not the head over you. Christ is the head over you. Get to know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, not what other people are thinking or what you think you ought to say or know. It's what He is saying to you. And it says, which He is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Wow. The body, which is His body. We are His body, and it says, is the fullness of Him. Isn't the body the fullness of your head? It is. I mean, you can be decapitated. I mean, people were killed that way. Their heads were cut off. Actually, Paul was killed that way. His head was cut off. Well, then you don't function together as one. You're a dead body, but not spiritually in the body of Christ. You are joined to Him, head and body. And the body is the fullness of the head. The head is the preeminent one that expresses His life through the body. You see, that's what this is about. The head, the Jesus, the fullness expressing Himself through the body. Oh man, this is a great gospel. This is wonderful to know. That's why I preach, that's why I teach, that our oneness with Christ, it's in Christ that we have all this. In union with Christ, you need to get to know it. You need to get so settled that you don't think you know it, because if you think you do, you're going to wobble. You've got to know that you know that you know. How do you do that? You trust the Holy Spirit. He brings the knowing inside of you. That's His job, brings the knowing inside of you. I've got to go. I'll be back next time. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
You have been listening to The Liberating Secret with Sylvia Pierce. We want to send a special thank you to all our supporters who make this program possible. If you have been blessed by this program and would like to contact Sylvia, you can write her at P.O. Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky, 40253. That's Post Office Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky, 40253. You can also find more of Sylvia's teachings on her website. The web address is www.theliberatingsecret.com. That's www.theliberatingsecret.com. And be sure to listen again right here, Monday through Friday at the same time, for The Liberating Secret with author and teacher Sylvia Pierce. So until next time, may God richly bless you.